Good morning. It's good to be here. Would you give the worship team a hand for leading us into such a wonderful time of worship? Thank you, Sia, for that introduction. Don't say handsome, like Pastor Stephen get jealous later, okay? So, but it's good to be here. Welcome. If you are here for the first time, second time, we really welcome you. We're glad that you're here. I would love to personally say hi to you, shake your hands, and thank you for being here today. I trust some of you had your, you know, long weekend last weekend. We have a few public holidays. Trust that some of you had a good time spending time with family or take a good rest. Myself, it's our first time having a big family trip. Took my parents, my siblings, three of us together with our families. Took my parents. We went to Chiang Mai. We had a good time there. It's very hot. But we had a good time eating and just sightseeing, spending time with our family. I trust that you had your break as well. Okay, so now today we are kickstarting our brand new series called The Joy of Salvation. Say joy of salvation. Say it with more joy. Say joy of salvation. Now this is a 4 or 5 week series whereby we endeavor or we want everybody to kind of remember, recall, and to rediscover the joy of our salvation. Now, sitting here, if I were to ask each and every one of you, rank your top three life occasion whereby you find the most joy, what would it be? Maybe some of you would say, you know, graduation. Some of you maybe would say promotion or getting married or welcoming a newborn child in the family or different reason to celebrate the joy of life. And we may or may not rank our salvation story as one of the top three joy of our life, right? So as a pastor, normally when I meet a dating couple or married couple, I will always ask them this question: how did you guys first met? And what is your first impression of each other? And you could see the smile on their face and the joy of just retelling. It could be the first time they met, or it could be the initial part of their journey, of their relationship, their courtship. Or when I meet a believer for the first time, I would often ask, what was it like for you? When did you come to know Christ? And who brought you? Who invited you? Who invested in your life, bridging you to Christ? And what has God done in your life since then? And I would hear that story and their story about the joy of their salvation, how God has changed their lives. So the heartbeat is really for us to remember, to recall, and to rediscover the joy of our salvation. The key passage that we are taking for this series is taken from Psalms 51. This is the Psalm of David, and especially in verse 12 and 13. Can we read this together? 1, 2, go. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgression your ways, so that sinners will turn back to you. Now, this is a psalm written by David, written when he was the most broken, when he realized that he has sinned against God, right? He is, one may ask, how could someone like David, who is known as a man after God's heart, who understood worship, who led worship, who have seen God deliver the nation of Israel time and time again, how could he have gone so far away from God, committing adultery, committing murder, covering up, and to be so far away from God? Well, you may ask that question. So when he realized he had sinned, when he was confronted by Prophet Nathan, he wrote these psalms. He penned down a psalm of repentance, and he prayed to God, God, would you restore to me the joy of my salvation? It is because he has forgotten what God has done for him. He has forgotten that God has called him for a purpose. He has forgotten what it means to walk closely with God. And to be honest, I think we are kind of like that as well, right? We forget easily. We forget easily. Sometimes after attending service, as we walk out, as we have lunch, we forgot the message that was being preached. We only remember the jokes, right? We only remember the stories, but we forgot because we forget easily. In the Old Testament, in Exodus, remember when God brought the nation of Israel out of Egypt, God has did a miracle, the 10 plagues, and parted the Red Sea. But when they went on the way to the promised land, They doubted, they forgot, they complained, they murmured for as much as 10 times before God got so upset with them and God says, you stay here for 40 years because we forget easily. Or in the book of Judges, the nation of Israel had a king and the king would turn away from God. They would worship idols and God allowed judgment and oppression and they will be ruled and they will be oppressed. And then they turn to God, they repent. And because of God's grace and mercy, God came and delivered them and there will be peace in the nation for a few years before they turn away again. And that's the story of the book of Judges, a spiritual roller coaster because we easily forget. Sitting here, we forget as well, right? Today we may be praising God, we may be declaring the praises of God, but 3 days later, we could be complaining to God because of certain things that do not go our way. We could be declaring a testimony for God. Sometimes we post it on our social media, we declare God has done a miracle in my life, and 3 months later, we may doubt the very same God that has given us the miracle. So we often forget as well. So when we forget, guess what? Psalms 78 says we grieve God. We hurt God. Right? We limit God. Psalm 78 says we forget God's power. We kind of put God in a box. We kind of then forget that God is all-powerful and all-knowing and we kind of depend on our own strength and limitation and we forget, we limit God. We no longer invite God into our world. But most importantly, we allow our hearts to be darkened. We allow our hearts to be darkened. Psalms 51, David pleaded with God, God, would you create a pure heart within me? David realized that his heart was darkened. Romans 1:21 says that even though they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor give thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish heart were darkened. And I pray in the same way, that is not where we want to go. So as I read this verse again, allow the words to speak to our hearts. Okay? David pleaded with God. He says, God, would you restore to me the joy of my salvation? When was the last time that you thank God again for the joy of your salvation? Some of us maybe months ago, some of us years or decades ago. A good indicator would be when we hear of someone coming to know Christ, are we celebrating with joy or are we like, meh, let's go and eat, okay? We no longer celebrate. That's a good indication that perhaps maybe our hearts are far away from God. David says, grant me a willing spirit to sustain me, and then I will teach sinners your ways, and they will turn back to you. When our own stories of salvation no longer amazes us, we no longer tell it to people, right? Because it's no longer good news to us. It's old news, stale news. But when our stories of salvation, the stories of God changing us is fresh and it's new and it's joy, then we will tell people that very same news, that very same joy. You know, this weekend is also the weekend of Pastor Tim's first death anniversary. I'm sure most of you know that. You know, how time has flown by, right? It's been a year. And I want to thank the church for every single one of you for standing together, praying together, building together. We are so honored to be doing this church together. And later on in the second part of the message, we will kind of dedicate certain portion of the segment to remember and to honor Pastor Tim. You know, there's a lot of things that brings Pastor Tim's joy. Right? We speak about the joy of salvation. Maybe in a late night, 11 o'clock, a doorbell rang, someone bring durian for supper. That will bring joy to him, right? Or playing badminton, a very great drop shot, that would bring joy to him. Or maybe a meal with friends and family, that would bring joy to him. But when he reached someone to know Christ, it's a different level of joy. Now, I know that because I was with him in the year 2022 in US when we were attending our Wheaton College. I remember we were sitting in a Grab, so both of us was behind, and he was on his phone, And suddenly, as he was reading his message, he gave a shout of exclamation. He said, oh, wow. I said, what happened? And he began to share with me. He says, oh, this person that I have been engaging with for 6 to 8 months, finally it's ready to accept Christ. He says, the girlfriend brought him to church and he was skeptical at first. And for 6 to 8 months, we have been talking. And for a lot of the months, we have just been exchanging nice Chinese songs back and forth. Okay, he was showing me all the YouTube link, all the Spotify link. And he says, right now, after 6 to 8 months of engaging, this person is ready to accept Christ. And you could see the joy in his face. You could see the joy up to his very core. Okay, so if you're that person, come up to me. Okay, I would love to meet you. That's 2022. We could see that. It's a joy beyond other joys of life, whether it's durian, whether it's badminton. As I prepare this message, I also want to remember, want to reflect, and want to rediscover the joy of my own salvation, which is tied into whereby Pastor Tim played a key role in me coming to know Christ. Now, we found this picture. This location is the very location whereby I first met Pastor Tim in 1997. Before that, it was a seafood restaurant. Today, it's a kopitiam. Okay? Now, I was an unchurched back then, and I heard that there is this pastor that wanted to meet me, because at the time, I was the president of the student council, so he wanted to meet me. So it was very strange for me, for a pastor to, out of the blue, two people say, want to meet up with me, and I declined. Okay, I was freaked out. I said, no, I don't want to meet any pastor. Why does he want to meet me? So instead of mama, he upped the stake. Okay, he said, seafood dinner. Straight away, seafood dinner. For the last few years before he passed, at most we have meals will be at Pelita Mama, Wantan Mee, okay? But when we first met, he had to up the stakes, seafood dinner. So my good friend, Si Peng, he's attending our Chinese service, and he's a Christian, and he says, okay, seafood dinner, let's go, free dinner, man. I say, okay, if you go, I'll go. Okay, so we went for the dinner. So it was my friend and I, Pastor Tim and Bikim, which is Pastor Stephen's wife. So we were having that seafood dinner. Now, I don't really remember much about that dinner, except that I was probably a little bit unfriendly. So about a week ago, I texted Pastor Teresa. I said, do you remember the dinner whereby Pastor Tim first brought me to seafood? Did he tell you anything after the dinner? And she said, yes. She said, Pastor Tim came back. The first thing he said is that dinner was expensive. And Pastor Tim remembered till today, because time and time again, he would say, I remember that seafood, Sean. It was 120-something, okay? He remember the exact amount because he paid. And this was like almost 30 years ago, okay? It was expensive. And number two, he says, Sean is a smart guy and a bit arrogant. Yeah, which is true. It's true, okay? So that was where we first met, okay? But months later, he continued to love us. He continued to pursue us. He continued to ajak us for mama. He continued to invite us for a life group. For church, he took some of us who were sick to the clinic. He continued to pursue us in that sense. And to a certain point, some of us, we were thinking, wow, okay, maybe when we know that he was expecting their firstborn, and we thought that maybe when he has his firstborn, he will leave us alone, okay, we thought. But he continued to pursue us. He continued to be steadfast in reaching out to us. And I remember one of the conversations that he asked me, which I will never forget. He will ask me, Sean, what is it that you want to do in life? What is your dream? And I says, I don't know. I say, probably have a good grade, have a good job, get a family, settle down. And I remember his reply to me was, he says, Sean, never underestimate what God can do in your life. And that was it, okay? That was what I remembered that time in 97, 98, and that led to the Prime College life group that we were part of in 1998 before we all moved here to 2001 to Puchong. And I really count it an honor, a privilege to be serving under his leadership, to be serving alongside with him. And in 2006, you can see the picture on the top. That was our 5th year anniversary of our Every Nation Damansara Church. I could never forget that. When I was 28 years old, he was so empowering. He released me to do church planting. Not very far away, you know, just down the road, LDP, you know, 20 minutes away. He released me and a few the team to plant a church, and he believed in me. That was in 2000. That picture was taken in 2011, 5th year anniversary of the church, and our graduation picture was taken in 2023 in July. I count it a privilege to be serving alongside with him. Joy of my salvation. What about you? Do you recall, remember the joy of your salvation? Some of you, maybe your youth years. Some of you, maybe your young adult years. Some of you, during college years. Think about the people that have sown in your life. Think about the people that have taught you during your kids' church days. The kids' teacher, your youth leader. Think about the people, your friends, who your colleagues, your family member and auntie who has been praying with you, who has been inviting you. Think about their joy when they know that you have come to know Christ. Maybe this weekend is a good time to text them and to thank them for investing in your life many, many years ago. You know, throughout the New Testament, the joy of salvation is consistent as well. Remember in Luke 15, the parable, Jesus told a parable, right? Remember that story about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son, right? The lost sheep whereby 100 sheep and one got lost, and the shepherd would leave the 99 for the one. And sometimes we are like that sheep. Have you guys watched that meme or that reel whereby there was a sheep that stuck in a ditch? Okay, it couldn't move, it got stuck, and then this shepherd come and picked the sheep and kind of carried the sheep up to safety, and the sheep will jump a few steps and then fall back into the same ditch. Yeah, sometimes we are like that. We forget easily. Now, this parable Jesus is talking about, he says, just so I tell you, there is more joy. Say more joy. Say more joy. He says, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous person who need no repentance. In other words, imagine all of us here, we are like the 99. Yeah, we are doing our church activities, which are great, right? We're doing our Bible study, we're doing our prayer, we're doing our fellowship, we're doing our activity, which are all great, which are all full of joy, I'm sure. But the heaven stops and say and turn to that one sinner. When one sinner repents, the whole heaven rejoices because there is more joy in that one person than the 99 of us who need no repentance. Speak about the joy of salvation is a different level, kind of joy to God, to heaven. What about Apostle Paul? He often recounts his testimony, how he used to persecute the church, and how on the way to Damascus, he was met with the light of God and he was converted powerfully, and he often shared his testimony. At least recorded twice in the book of Acts, Acts 22 and Acts 29, when he was standing before the Jewish leader, when he was standing before the Roman governor and king. And I'm sure throughout his church planting, his travel journey, time and time again, he will recount the joy of his salvation, how God has met him, how God has changed his life. And this is what he wrote to the Christians in Philippi. He says, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my request for all of you with joy. Say with joy. Say with joy. For you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. Wow. So every time Paul, as he thought about the believers, as he prayed for them, he was filled with much joy. Because when they first heard it, the first joy of salvation, until now, they are spreading the good news. They're spreading the joy of salvation in return. One more verse, Apostle John. Apostle John was the one who survived the longest, the latest. He passed away about 90 plus AD, which is about 60 years after Jesus Christ was died and resurrected. So potentially, he had that many years to see and to hear the praise report of the different churches that is being planted, or different believers that go forth and preach the gospel. Maybe some of them, they were as young as 8 years old, but 20 years later, they were preaching the gospel. So when he, towards his old age, began to write this epistle, and he rejoiced greatly. Again, joy. I rejoice greatly when the brothers came and testify to your truth, as indeed you are walking in truth. And And John says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. You know, as parents, we identify that as well, right? As much as we want our children to be well and to be successful in whatever they do, there is something about that joy, no greater joy than to hear, than to know our children that is walking in the light and walking in the truth, right? As parents, we could identify that in the same way. Paul says, no greater joy. Something about the joy of salvation, it is different. You know, a year has passed, as I mentioned, and so many one of you rise up, step up to lead, to do, to serve. Just last week, I received a text from a couple and say, Pastor, we are willing to step up to serve and to help out in whatever we can in another location. So many different encouragement from different one of you. And even as we want to remember Pastor Timothy, why we are doing this, right? Hebrews 13 says, remember your leaders. Say, remember. It says, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life. Say the word consider. And imitate their faith. Say imitate. So there are three action words in this one verse. Remember, consider, imitate. Consider means to observe carefully, to weigh, to, you know, when you go shopping, some ladies or guys, we go shopping, we shop for gadgets, we consider a lot, right? We consider, oh, how much is it online? How much is it on the physical? Got sale or not? Is the Shopee, 9, 9, 9, 10, 10 sale? Is it? We consider a lot of things. We consider the price. We consider the feature. We consider the practicality. We consider the aesthetic. We consider a lot of things. When Hebrew author asks us to consider, it means that to observe, to reflect so that we can apply the outcome of their life and of their way of life and imitate their faith. Even as today, we want to remember our beloved Pastor Timothy. We also want to consider, to observe, to reflect the outcome of his way of life. Now, I have the honor and the privilege to know him for 27 years, and I've kind of seen how he walked out his life in a different stage of his life when he was in his late 20s as a young father, as a young parent, as he was working in the corporate world. I get to see the outcome of the way he lived his life. As an associate pastor, I've seen how he, when he was owning business, when he was owning restaurant, how he, again, lead that business and use that business to bless the community. And I've seen how he lead the church and how he lead the ministry as a different church plant, whether it is local context or an international context. I consider the outcome of his life. For he as a father, he as a husband, as a friend, I consider the outcome of the way that he lived his life. And I hope that today, even later as we watch the video, we will remember, we will consider his life. And number three, we want to imitate his faith. Imitate his faith. Not just consider and watch for us to feel good, for us to feel touched. Not just that. So that we can imitate his faith. Okay, so, you know, one of the things that I've asked different ones is, one of the things that I want to imitate his faith is really his heartbeat for the unchurched. His heartbeat for especially lost people. And I see time and time again, if I were to stand here and to share all the stories of people that he journeyed across the line of faith since 2017, there could be easily at least 200 to 250 people that he kind of journeyed to cross. We will be here all weekend. But I kind of capture a story of Nelson that I just want to share with you. He attends our Saturday evening service. In fact, he preached last week in our Saturday evening service. When Nelson first came to this church in 2019, he was an unchurched, but he was open to explore about who this God is. And he says, Pastor, when I first came, I gave my life group leader a hard time. Okay, I would question her, I would make her cry, I made her want to quit. Okay, I was arrogant back then. Okay, I see a pattern. He arrogant, I also arrogant, a lot of arrogant people in our midst. But he says, okay, he will come, but he will have a lot of questions. He will also was very opinionated. But his girlfriend constantly encouraged him to continue to come. And he came on the first Mother's Day. But the second week that he came, it was when Pastor Tim caught him and Pastor Tim had a gift. Not just the gift, the heart of knowing who is Neil and knowing your life and knowing your name. So Pastor Tim caught him and kind of had that conversation with him. And that sparked the journey of an ongoing journey of that follow-up of multiple Mamak session, multiple badminton session. And Nelson will nail down to one defining night at Mamak whereby they sat down and they were processing certain difficult question about life. Difficult question about afterlife. Nelson's mother passed away when he was very young. So he struggled with not knowing where his mother would be. Talking about his previous religion, previous faith, the different idols, and difficult conversation. And he shared that night in Mama, all three of them were tearing. Okay, he was tearing. The girlfriend was tearing. Pastor Tim was tearing. And as they processed through, question by question, question by question, and Nelson said that it was that night, he will pinpoint that night where he fully surrender himself to Christ. Fast forward, Pastor Tim kind of bring him along, raise him as a core, as a life group leader. And today, Nelson and his wife, Jacqueline, is one of our key working adult coach, overseeing a few life group. And he was preaching here last week. Many, many different stories. I'm sure, sitting here, you also have your different journey, your different interaction, your different text messages to some of us. Although some of you may not have that privilege of knowing him because he just joined us over the last 1 year, but I'm sure you would have heard his life and his legacy from the people who have brought you here. Or if you have been here long enough, you would have heard us speaking fondly about him. We put together a video. I want you to, even as you remember, we want to remember, we want to consider, and we want to imitate. Okay, so let's watch this video.
For me, faith is everything. Faith is the very essence that helps you to maneuver and steer your life. Because if you have faith, that means have a big trust in God, and it helps you to walk confidently and walk in the ways of God.
At visiting hours, so I could just swing by and ask for your advice. What would you do in my situation? I haven't a clue how I'd even raise them. What would you do? 'Cause you always do what's right. Can we talk a while until my worries disappear? I tell you that I'm scared of turning out a failure. You'd say, remember that the answer's in the
one day, as we continue to show the love of God, people will come to you and say, your love. What's your love? Was your love. Your love encourages me. Your love refreshes me. Your love has kept me strong. Your love has attracted me to want to know the God that put that love in your heart. Your love.
So in the past, I attend church, okay? But now I'm planting churches, helping him to plant a church in Alosa.
Pastor Tim shaped our leadership to be filled with love, humility, and servitude.
他特别教导我，让我在特别牧养上，怎么样去关心这些新朋友。
Even with all his busyness, he still finds time.
He treasures people, he treasures us more than ministry.
我们学习他的榜样，如何建立家庭祭坛。
One of Pastor Tim's favorite questions is, "What's in your heart?"
Pastor Tim 的生命帮助我们，在通过用爱来领导。Whatever
you schedule in your calendar, it will happen.
He encourages me to connect with people, whether on or off the pulpit, on or off the stage.
他是一个正直的领袖.
Pastor Tim showed me how to live differently by his example of steadfast love.
thinking about discipleship, how we can always better when we engage the lost, when we meet new people.
Showing us the importance of prioritizing relationships and also serving others with humility.
He modeled what, how to be Christ-like in the 21st century, someone who is full of wisdom, full of grace.
Remembered what Pastor Tim said, and finally today I am leading the Every Nation of Lost Time movement.
To see how God can work through my life and at the same time introduce people to the reality of God in their lives.
Build your internal world, where your internal world is strong. Whatever thing the external world throw to you, you can withstand it.
He doesn't just treat us like a number in his congregation, but he reaches out to us and loves us as individuals. My heart and everyone I love will know exactly who you are. 'Cause this is not goodbye. Just till we meet again. So much has changed since you've been away.
Now the day will come, the Bible says, when we meet Jesus. And I think Jesus is going to ask us, did we make disciples? And I think that will be one question that will be asked. Keep the main thing, the main thing.
Remember, yes. Go ahead and give God a clap offering. We want to remember. We want to consider the way of His life. And we want to imitate His faith. Now, even as we have heard from some of the people in the video, I want to give an opportunity for every single one of us. Are we going to take a minute of silence for us to remember His encouragement, His inspiration, and later on, after that 1 minute, we will have a special 3-2-1 whereby we get to share that with our neighbor. All right, so let's just take a minute of silence just to remember His encouragement and His inspiration to you. Let's do that. And in the special 3-2-1, I want us to, no need to move around, but just turn to the person next to you, behind you, and just begin to share. Okay, so let's take 3 minutes to remember and to reflect. thank you for participating in that little sharing, little exercise.